Well, we're in a sermon series, The Wonderful Gifts of God. Now, you know the other sermon series was not so wonderful things that pull us away from God. So now we've kind of shifted gears and we're talking about the wonderful gifts of God. And we've talked about several. And those this morning, now we add joy to the list. Joy is a gift of God. And the purpose of joy is to not only pull us closer to God, but to give us a center point of focus with all the other stuff that goes on around us in this world, that we have a place to come back to that is a point of focus in our hearts and in our lives that brings us back to a sense of reality, brings us back into the loving presence of God through Jesus Christ, and protects us, if we allow it, from all the stuff that goes on within the world around us. It's still going to happen. And we're still going to get hurt, we're still going to get mad, we're still going to get upset, all that stuff is still going to happen. But the gift of joy cannot, if we allow it, be diminished by it. It'll always be there. And we'll always be able to turn in and feel the gift of joy that reigns within our hearts. So, we're going to talk about the gift of joy. I found this sign on the internet. Can't read the name, it's IKEA. Who knows what IKEA is? It's a store that sells pretty everything. Sells everything. And the furniture they sell is pretty unique, to say the least. So this is obviously a road sign. And IKEA says, if you want joy in your life, come see us. And we're going to sell you some furniture. We'll sell you a sectional. We'll sell you a gorgeous dining room table. We'll sell you two matching chairs and a little ottoman or a little coffee table you can put your feet up on. And you will experience absolute joy. Oh, praise God. So if you're hungry for joy, see, you don't even have to listen to me for the next few moments. You can just go now and drive straight to IKEA and they will load you up with joy as much as you can afford to pay for. See? Joy is what that sign says. All you got to do is come get it. And we got it. We'd love to sell it to you. So we're going to talk about what's wrong with that sign. We're going to define what joy is in two different ways. Then we're going to take a look at the scripture, see what Paul is trying to say about joy. And we're going to try and find a way to establish it and to sustain it in our own lives. So that's a long list. So here we go. First thing, it is not happiness. The joy we're talking about is not happiness. Now there is a secular joy and there is a divine joy. And we're going to get to those next. Secular joy may be accompanied with happiness, but the joy we want to really focus on, it's got nothing to do with being happy. Happiness is conditioned by and often dependent upon what is happening to us in the current circumstances of our lives. So, the IKEA truck has just pulled up in the driveway, and you got all that other junk you got all out of your house. You called Goodwill, you called T-Training, and the Sanctuary guys. You called them, and you get them all your stuff, and they're so happy to get it. You have an empty house. Here comes the IKEA truck. He's backing up. He's a little bit beep, 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 beep. He's getting closer. The beep, beep, beep of the truck is getting louder. Your heart's racing. And you're going to be so happy because all the new furniture is coming in. It's going to make you so happy. So you know, all the furniture comes in. You make sure it goes right where she said it should go. You make sure you tell her how much you like the colors she picked out and how they match so beautifully in your home, if you're smart. Then she says, or someone says, why don't you go get a pizza? You go get it, bring it back. We'll have the pizza right here, our new dining room table, where we're going to sit and be so happy. So you go get the pizza, and you're a block from home. You got the pizza, the car smells like pepperoni, and you're driving along. You got to come to a stop sign, so you stop, and boom, someone rear-ends you. And that pizza goes sliding off the seat. It comes out, and it gets all down your right leg.
the hot cheese and the little pepperonis are sticking to you and the sauce is running and you want to just scream and yell because it burns and it sticks. Are you happy? Nope. You're going to go home and explain to somebody why you have pizza on your leg. And we're not eating pizza for dinner at our new happy furniture. And pretty soon, no one's going to be real happy anymore because the circumstances just changed radically. Happiness is based on current conditions alone. Joy, divine joy, is a divine dimension of living that is not shaken by hot pizza dripping down your leg. That won't shake divine joy. It's still going to burn. It's still going to be hot. But it won't shake you from losing your divine joy. Because that's what divine joy is all about. So we want to take a look at secular joy. Secular joy is the result of experience with gladness, delight, success, or good fortune. So you go to a wedding, or someone has a baby, or they do the baptism, whatever. The harvest comes in. Thinking about Old Testament and even today, you know, the harvest comes in and the farmers actually make a little money or something. Or any other type of celebration. In that celebration, then, we experience the presence of secular joy. It makes us feel good. Because of those circumstances. You went to the wedding. It was a great wedding. The circumstances were positive, happy, happy, happy. And it makes us feel the presence of joy. Christian joy is the result of experience with and in God. Christian joy is the result of experience with and in God. And we can experience it in a sense of gladness. We can experience with success and blessing. So now we go to a Christian wedding, and we're sitting right there, and the bride and groom up here doing their little thing, and the minister's up here, and everybody's happy, happy. But as Christian people, what we now see in that Christian marriage or the Christian baptism or whatever Christian celebration, we now recognize the holiness of Christ in the wedding, the holiness of Christ in the baptism, the holiness of Christ in the celebration, and it stirs the divine joy that we already have. Because we're recognizing what we experience at just joy in the wedding or the birth or the whatever is the joy of Christ being modeled, displayed in the wedding, in the birth, in the baptism, in the whatever. It's being modeled. It's coming to life before our very eyes. And we feel an intense feeling of joy. And it's the divine joy that lives within us. Because we have an experience and a relationship with God. So that's the difference between happiness and secular joy. So we go to the text. Paul says, now the works of the flesh are obvious, and it's all of those things. So we're not going to look at each one. That would be here forever. The pizza would be well cold by the time we got done just with this one thing. So we're going to look at them as a group. And as we look at them as a group, what we're going to see is that Paul says these are the works of the flesh. These are what we do. Human nature can get a little off track and go do these things. And you can see, and I hope you heard when we read through them, that these are not real positive things. These are not like holy, righteous types of things. These are basically what you're going to call what? Sin. They're just ugly, nasty things. But we do them because it brings a sense of gratification. Isn't that crazy? We do these things. We know they're wrong, but we still do them. Because it brings a sense of gratification. It makes us feel what? Happy. It makes us feel happy. It makes us have a sense of secular joy. The problem is, Paul says, these things, hey, come on, these things are prohibited by the law. You can't do these things.
you do these things. And Paul says, you know, Church of Galatia, you do these things, and you know what? I wouldn't count on seeing the kingdom of God if I were you, because these things are beyond the kingdom of God. These are beyond the kingdom. He's got nothing to do with the kingdom of God, except they're outside of it. So he's saying to Galatia, if you guys continue to do this stuff, don't put your money on seeing the kingdom of God, because I'm thinking you're not going to see it. Now, it doesn't have to be all bad things. It doesn't have to be all bad things. It can be materialistic things. It can be activities that we do that are not necessarily sinful, for heaven's sakes. You woke up this morning, and it was a gorgeous morning, and you know all the rain and junk from yesterday and all that, and this morning is really pretty, and you spent all day yesterday getting the boat cleaned up and all that kind of stuff. You thought you were going to take it out, but it's not going to go out because it's pouring down rain. And you wake up this morning and say, wow, it's so beautiful, we should skip church, because, you know, he just goes on forever and forever and forever, and we could take the boat out. What do you want to do? I still have the scars on my leg from the pizza. Salt water is good for healing scars. Let's take the boat out. So, and that's not a terrible thing. It's not. If Jesus came back while you skipped church and you're out on a boat, well, you think he's just going to come back and put a hole in your boat and let you go? No. If you're okay, he's okay. He's going to go ahead and take you off the boat with him. You're okay. I don't know that I would form a habit of that necessarily and roll my dice on that. But anyway, there are some things that we do that are just like not bad, but they're not really good, because the reality is they're just substitutes for the real thing. Again, it gratifies us. Makes us feel good to take the boat out. Makes us feel good when we put that throttle up and that baby. Makes us feel good, but it's just a substitute. And if it brings joy and happiness, you know what? When that rain cloud suddenly forms just like that over the Gulf, and it's pouring down rain in your beautifully waxed boat, and you forgot that the Bimini Top has this massive cut in it, and all that rainwater's coming in on you, see, you're not so happy anymore. Because now you're getting drenched, and everybody in the boat's getting drenched, and people are getting scared because the waves are getting really high. You're not happy anymore because it's not the real thing. He says, listen, I told you all this before. I told you this before, and you all keep doing this. What's wrong with you guys? He says, you know, you keep substituting things for the real thing, and you can't do that. However, in addition to, so he just said, okay, y'all keep doing these things. Stop it. You're not going to get into the kingdom of God. Here's the real deal. However, the fruit of the Spirit is this. Love, joy. Yes, love, joy, peace. And then it's forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these things there are no law. So when I look at the fruit of the Spirit, you don't have to agree with me. I'm wrong a lot. Here's the way I look at the fruit of the Spirit. For me, Paul's saying, the fruit of the Spirit, the first three, love, joy, and peace, are what God created all humanity to crave, to be hungry for. We are hungry for the love of God. We're hungry for the peace of God. And we're hungry for the joy of God in our hearts, deep in our hearts. The next six, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, are the practice I do through which I obtain and sustain love, joy, and peace. And if I have love, joy, and peace in my life, then I will practice, because I am trying to be forbearing, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. So don't you see that the first three are what I'm hungry for, the love of God, because it brings me joy and peace. The next six is how I get there, or is the reflection of my struggle to get there, because that's the way I am. So that's just the way I look at those. And Paul says, you know what, you can do this all day long, there ain't nothing wrong with that. There is no law against these things. Baby, just go out and be as self-controlled as you want to be. Go out and be as faithful and good and all that stuff as you want to be, because there's just no law against this kind of stuff. It's all good. It's all good. And finally, last verse, he says, now, one more time, to those who belong to Christ Jesus, they've crucified the flesh and with his passion and his desires. So he's simply saying, now, y'all remember, Church of Galatia, because, you know, he said, I've told you this before, remember, all that stuff in that column has been crucified, and some of the stuff in my column has been crucified with Christ. And that means it's just gone. in my Christian heart. It should just be gone. I gave it up. I crucified. It died. It died. And now, to take its place is the freedom to celebrate true joy. So the question is, how? How do I get it? How do I sustain it? I think there's at least four things. Here we go. Number one, acknowledge its source. John 15, 10 to 11. Jesus speaking to the guys. If you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love. Wait a minute. Love sounds familiar, does it not? Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. And it is from love that peace and joy flow. And he just said, if you follow my command, what command is he talking about? Love God, love neighbor. Yes? Two. Only two. But there are two big ones and are two very challenging ones. If you do that, love God, love neighbor, you're going to remain in my love. And from my love will come what? Peace and joy. Woohoo! This is good. I've told you this so that my joy, Christ, may be in you. If you follow my commandments, you stay in my love. I'm going to give you my peace and my joy. And I'm telling you this so you know where to get joy. You get joy by following my commandments. And I'm going to put my joy into you so that your joy may be complete. So your joy will be complete. So if I'm hungry for joy, it comes from the love of God. And to get the love of God, he seems to think that I just need to follow his commands. Love God, love neighbor. And from that will come God's love, and from that love comes peace and joy. And my day is set. All I got to do, love God. Number two, trust in the power of joy. Because, you know, this sounds good, but is it really anything to this? So trust in the power of joy. James, consider it pure joy, divine, holy presence of joy. Consider it pure joy. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, hardship, tribulation, all that stuff. Because you know that's the testing of your faith. You know, little guy's pitchfork and long curly tail sits right here. He's going to sit on my shoulder and he's going to be telling me all this stuff. And it's a test of my faith. And he's trying to take my joy away. That's a gift from God, but he wants to take it away from me. And James says, listen, if you just consider the hard times, the test of your faith as a presence of joy, it'll produce perseverance. Because every time your faith is tested, you'll see God is faithful. He still loves you, and you'll still have peace and joy. Even though your heart is broken or the world's falling apart around you, you'll still have the presence of peace and joy in your life because God is faithful. So let perseverance finish its work. Let it develop your faith even deeper and deeper, he writes, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything when it comes to the love, the peace, and the joy of God. That sounds good, but it's only good if it works. So the second step is to try and trust it. Try and trust it. Number three is the answer to the call to rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Paul doesn't say, you should rejoice. You ought to rejoice. Have a council meeting to see if you can rejoice. Have a finance meeting to see if you can afford to rejoice. Or call the trustees to see if there is room for you to rejoice. Just rejoice. It's a command. Just do it. Yes, your world's falling down around you. Yes, your heart is broken. Yes, 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 yes. All this stuff is going on. But he's saying in Philippians, he's saying, okay, I got that. But here's what you need to do. You have the gift of Christ. You have his love. You have his peace and his joy. So therefore, what you need to do is what? Rejoice. Rejoice. Yes, the world's falling apart. But rejoice in the love of Christ that's deep in your heart. And the last one. Trust that his joy is enough. Oh. This is very, very hard. Romans 8:28, we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, love him. Oh, those who love him, because those who love him have peace and joy. For those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, and his purpose is to continue to teach and share and nurture the peace and the joy of God in our lives. So we have to trust that that's enough. that that's enough. But that's not easy. That's not easy because something wants to steal our joy. And we say, well, why is that? I think part of the problem here is like some of these other things we've talked about. Joy is not tangible. I can't go over to the pulpit and pull out my joy and show it to you. I can't take out my joy from my pocket and say, here, see that? That's my joy. I can't do that. I can't take it out and manipulate it. I can't play with it. I can't touch it. I can't do it. I can't break it up into little pieces. I can't do anything because it's not tangible. It's here. But happiness and secular joy come usually in the tangible. So I have the love of God and the peace and the joy of God in my heart. And all of a sudden, my attention is diverted by something shiny. Because I like shiny things. They get my attention very easily. And something shiny goes by. Wow. And pretty soon, I'm looking at that. And the longer I look at that, the more I think about it. And the more I look and think, you know what happens to the joy? I forget it. I begin to forget it. And now my focus is on that shiny thing, whatever that shiny thing might be. Doesn't matter what it is, because it's got my attention, because it's tangible. It's tangible. I can go up and touch it. It's right there. I can touch it. It's right there. And it brings gratification. I just love it because it makes me feel so good. It just brings instant gratification. But the joy in my heart's like, oh, yeah, it's there. But, you know, I'm thinking it's not very tangible. I can't really take it and do anything with it. So, okay. And so it's easy to lose focus. It's easy for the little guy on my shoulder to say, psst, look, something shiny at 10 o'clock. Oh, and pretty soon the joy just begins to be forgotten. It's still there, but I've lost focus. And that is true with all the good gifts of God. They're not so tangible. But they're there. And the more we learn to trust them, the more a sense of tangibility comes. So the world's falling down around me, and I'm clinging with all my life to the love of Christ, which brings me peace and joy. And I can move through the trial, the tribulation, the offset, whatever, and I still have this sense of comfort or assurance. Or just have this conviction in my heart that, yes, you know what, this really stinks. But you know, God always knew it was going to happen. He was just waiting for me to get to that moment in time when it would happen. And the reason he was waiting was to walk through it with me. Because he loves me. And his love brings me peace and joy, even in the storms. And that has its own sense of tangibility to it through my faith. And that's what I have to cling to. Because that's what I'm hungry for. And that's what we're hungry for. And it's there. It's a free gift of God through Christ Jesus by staying in His love. And He will pour as much joy and peace into our lives as we can possibly stand. And He loves to do it. He loves to bless His children. And I'm grateful for that. And I know you are too. Joy is a great gift. Don't let anyone take it away from you. Pray with me. Thank you for your gifts. Protect us, we pray, that when tempted to lose focus, you would awaken us to your living presence within us. To the wonderful gift of joy that lives in our hearts. And we would turn quickly back to you and trust you. Trust you that you will always be faithful and continue to love us and bless us with your peace and joy. Father, we pray that if there's any in this sanctuary this morning who have not experienced the power of your joy, that they would seek it and ask and you would give. If there's any in the sanctuary this morning who has just kind of lost track, they've lost focus, they kind of forgot what that feeling is like, that when the world's falling down around them, there's still the essence of security and hope in their hearts from the joy in their hearts. And we pray they allow the Holy Spirit to re-nurture that. And they would leave here today renewing their joy from your love. And we pray it in the name of the one who gives us peace and joy, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.